Chapter 9. We made it past Biloxi and Pascagoula without any problems. George thought there used to be a naval shipyard at Pascagoula, which would probably have made it a target during the war. If so, the city probably ate a nuke or two. I-10 was 5 miles north of the city and its shipyards. I didn't figure I needed to go any closer just in case and hurried past it. It was starting to get dark as we approached the Alabama state line, and I figured we needed to find some shelter for the night. Highway 90 ran parallel to the interstate, just beyond a small cleared strip, and I decided to get off the main road. I went across the cleared area, knocked down a small fence, and continued east on Highway 90. About 0.3 miles later, we came to an abandoned restaurant. It looked like crap and the ceiling had collapsed in the kitchen, but the dining room still had a roof. So we took our sleeping bags, I got Sam's, and made camp as best we could. George and I pushed some of the booze together. There would probably be an army of roaches that would come visit us once it got dark. I didn't want to sleep on the ground with the entire insect population of Alabama. I went back outside and backed the truck in so we could leave quickly if we needed to, then took the first watch. I woke up George about halfway through the night and lay down for a bit. I didn't sleep very well due to my wounds and the fact I knew George wasn't really prepared for a night of watch. Ultimately, though, blood loss and exhaustion finally caught up with me, and I slept for a little while. "That was some damn fine shooting yesterday," George said to me the next morning as we ate some cold food from our stock. He looked a lot worse for the wear. It was probably the least amount of sleep he'd had in a while, even forded up at Sam's house. "Thanks."
"Where'd you learn how to do that?"
"I don't know."
"Can you teach me to shoot like that?"
John, the older boy, asked.
"Dad and—"
he sniffed.
"Grandpa taught me how to shoot a rifle, but we don't have that much rifle ammo and we have a bunch of pistols now. Figured I ought to learn."
I looked at his dad, who shrugged.
"That's probably true," George said. "He's got to learn sometime."
"I guess I can teach you," I replied.
"When?"
I looked at his dad, who shrugged again. "No time like the present, I guess. We're as safe here as we're going to be. And I doubt anyone these days will move toward the sounds of people shooting." I told George to watch out the front of the building anyway. You never know, about half the people of the world are dumber than average. And took John and the other two kids out back for a lesson in pistols. "How old are you?" I asked.
16, John replied. "Old enough to kill someone if I had to, especially if there's some of the people who killed Grandpa."
"Killing's hard," I said.
"It looked pretty easy when you did it yesterday,"
John replied. "It may have appeared like it to you, but I got lucky. I also got wounded myself, so I'd encourage you to try a different resolution first." John stared at me as if I thought he was stupid. Apparently, the fallen world hadn't already jaded him. "Oh, well, that might not be a bad thing."
"Okay, then," I said. "There are two things you need to know. First is, you never point a gun at something you don't want to kill. Second, if you do point it at someone, you better be ready to kill them, because they're probably going to do their best to do it to you before you do it to them. Got it?" John said he did, so I showed him how to operate the pistol. We also talked about trigger discipline and how to load and unload it. We talked so long that his younger brother wandered off, and the two older children were rolling their eyes as I gave them additional pointers on the effective use of a handgun.
"What?" I finally asked after about the 30th eye roll.
"You said you'd teach me to shoot the pistol," John said. "We've been doing this for an hour and I haven't shot it even once yet."
"I'm just getting to that," I replied. "I just wanted to make sure you didn't accidentally kill me or one of your siblings while I was doing so."
Grandpa told us about weapon safety. Blah, blah, blah. Keep your booger pickers off the trigger till you're ready to shoot. Blah, blah, blah. He held up a hand. I know it's important, but I've already got that.
You just want to shoot the darn pistol.
Yes, sir,
he said with a smile. Well, okay then, I said with a grin in reply. Let's do that. I took a 2-foot by 2-foot board and propped it up about 30 feet away, then came back and drew a firing line. Here's what I want you to do on your turn. I loaded an 8-round magazine into the pistol, then aimed and fired until the slide locked back. See? I asked. Nothing to it.
Seriously?
John asked.
You only hit the board twice.
Did I? I looked at the board. Sure enough, there were only 2 holes through it. I shrugged. So let's see you do better.
The boy loaded and fired the pistol. Although he missed twice, the board now sported 6 new holes.
That's easy, John said. Can we do it again?
Sure, I said, walking up to put a new board in place. We'll have a competition to see who's best. I went back and towed the line. This time I concentrated as I fired off another magazine, knowing that I put all 8 bullets into the target.
You're not much of a challenge, the boy said. You still only got 4 on the board and you took about 3 times as long. What happened to you? You have to be able to do this quickly.
Let's see you do it then if you're so smart, I replied. The boy smiled as he stepped up to the line and loaded his pistol. He fired off the magazine a lot faster than I had, then walked over to inspect the target.
Ha, he said. I hit it 9 times, more than twice as many as you.
That was a great job, I replied. I guess you win that pistol. It's now yours, but you have to clean it and take care of it. You good with that?
Absolutely, he exclaimed. I'll take it in and clean it right now.
I could see he wanted to run with the pistol, but he walked, quickly, to the restaurant and went inside, careful to keep it pointed at the ground.
That's nice of you to build him up like that, George said. At some point, he'd come around to the other side of the building to watch. I imagine for someone like you, it's harder to miss a target than it is for him to hit it.
I chuckled. You have no idea, I said. George nodded.
I'm going to go inside and congratulate him, if you don't mind watching out for a bit.
Not a problem, I said. I'll take care of things out here.
George went inside, leaving me looking at the target.
I had no idea what had happened. I hadn't let him win. I'd tried my level best to hit it every time, and I had missed more often than I'd hit it. I hadn't even come close to the results of someone just shooting a pistol for the first time. After about 10 seconds, I turned away, shaking my head. There are some things you just can't figure out in this fallen world.